Oh, yes. WTIC on a Thursday afternoon. A little update on tolls. It seems like we're back in the same cycle again. The word out of Hartford is that nobody thinks there's going to be a vote on Monday. There's supposed to be a vote on Monday. But nobody thinks there's supposed to be a vote on Monday. And they keep setting up this loop. It's this loop where they say they're going to do it. And they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And it's part of the scam of how you pass legislation, how leadership tricks membership. That is, your state rep, your state senator, they get manipulated by the leadership of their own party, who's supposed to be their protector and ally. But what happens is leadership decides what it wants all by itself. And then it goes and tries to find a way to make it into a law. And depending on its importance, they fight when they can't get something passed that they want to. And other times they just let it slide because it's not that big deal, or they'll let it go till the next year or whatever. Tolls, of course, is critical to the plunderers. They need more plunder. They need more bribe money to give to the unions. They need more cash to be able to keep the government from becoming visibly bankrupt instead of keeping it cloaked. And they want these tolls going. They want them going. They've spent, now we're into year two of Governor Lamont wasting everybody's time, wasting his administration on pursuing something that apparently isn't going to happen. We're back in the same little loop once again, pushing, pushing, pushing for next week, pushing for next week, pushing. But here's the ridiculous scenario. The reason for the last year they haven't been able to pass tolls is because you don't want tolls. And certain legislators, certain Democrats, understand that they are vulnerable to the repercussions at the ballot box if they do vote for tolls. This is politics 101, legislating 101. But the dynamic here just needs to be laid out clearly. The story is they don't have the votes because Democrats in the House and in the Senate are afraid to vote for tolls. So they keep trying to push it further down the road, or they keep continuing to push as they get further down the road because they don't want to give up. But now we're at a point. Now we're at a point that's kind of ridiculous. The Senate and the House can't decide who's going to vote first. Each chamber is afraid to vote first. Normally, the normal sequence of events is one side passes a bill, and then it sends that bill over to the other side for consideration. But they're trying to invent a new way to legislate because they're so scared of each other. That is, leaders in the House and the Senate on the Democratic side, this is all Democrats I'm talking about, leaders on both sides don't trust that the other side will actually be able to deliver its votes. So if you're Martin Looney, the guy who runs the Senate for the Democrats and who runs the Senate, Martin Looney wants the Speaker of the Tolls to hold the vote first, Joe Arisimowitz. Joe Arisimowitz wants Martin Looney to have the Senate go first. Now, why does Martin Looney want Joe Arisimowitz and the Speaker of the Tolls to push tolls through there before he makes senators vote? Well, he doesn't believe the House is actually going to be able to vote yes. And if the House doesn't vote yes, he'd rather have them do that first before he's required his Democrats, before he's taken all of his twisted arms and said to them, yes, you guys go out on a limb and vote yes. And it works in reverse as well. Nobody wants to go first because they're not sure the other side will follow. It's as simple as that. It's like a dare. It's like you're a kid and it's a dare. Okay, you jump first. I'll be right behind you. No, You jump first. I'll be right behind you. That's what it is. You have a stalemate. Nobody's willing to jump because they know you don't want tolls. They're afraid of you. Not afraid enough that they would just do what's right. Not caring enough of the best interests of the state to not push tolls through, to not be part of this conspiracy to try to further dismantle the well-being of the state with more high taxes. No, they're still willing to do that if they can get away with it politically. But they fear that the backlash will be too severe. They fear that they will be in trouble politically if they vote for tolls. And here we are, after a year, still where we were, with them still pushing. Why are they still pushing? Why do they want that money so badly? That's what you have to ask yourself. Why do they want that money so badly? And the answer is the debt. The answer is the obligations to state workers. Now, the irony here is that they need the money to give to retirees based on union contracts. Union contracts for the public sector unions that do nothing for you, but you pay fortunes to make sure exist. The reason public sector unions exist is to create a third party, an unaffiliated third party that somehow is given all this governmental power and actually has control over your well-being as a citizen of the state of Connecticut. Because here's the connection. It's easy to be confused and not understand, well, what's that got to do with me? Because they've run up $124 billion of liabilities owed to public sector unions, to state workers, state retirees, $124 billion that they don't have the money to pay. $124 billion with nothing to show for it. And that is a big debt that takes 30% of spending every year, 30% of the budget. Take 30% of $23 billion. They'd love it to be trillions. $23 billion every year. 30% of that is paying debt. And that debt is getting bigger by several hundred million dollars every year. That obligation is getting harder to finance every year. That's why they want tolls. Two things. This is the irony I was telling you about, because this is how the Democrats roll. The Democrats roll on infrastructure. The reason the Democrats so desperately want more money for infrastructure is because infrastructure makes unions happy, because union workers work on infrastructure. That's why Democrats always think infrastructure is the thing they need. Infrastructure means money's coming in to the hands of unions, which means unions are motivated to vote for Democrats. And they need the money to pay for the $124 billion of debt owed to unions that provide nothing to you but do assure the ability of Democrats to rig elections. It's hard to get your head around this, but the Democratic Party exists as an election rigging scheme. All policy is made on this basis. All policy that Democrats make is about rigging elections. That's all. 860-522-9842. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
2 points. This morning when Lamont was on the radio on your station, he wouldn't answer the question about the increase in goods and services coming to the taxpayers of Connecticut.
The price hikes because of trucks having to pay tolls.
Yeah, and he used New York tolls as a distraction to mm-hmm. answer the question. So that was number one. He's a liar. Number
Number two.
Yeah, that was one point. The other point is he said, when someone said, why don't we have a public referendum and let everybody vote on it? He said, you already did have a referendum when you elected the people to Congress. Now, that's a joke, and we know it. So you can't get a straight answer out of this guy. What are we going to do with him?
Well, you know, it's funny you mention this, because yesterday they had a Chamber of Commerce meeting in Waterbury, and the governor spoke, and there was all kinds of, like, hours of tape on the CTN website, the state website that does video coverage of state business. And I, at like 2 this morning, I was watching it. It just went on and on. I figured it would put me back to sleep, but it was so painful listening to the governor speak. He did like 20 minutes, and he's incomprehensible. And I don't think he actually understands what's going on, or he's got recall issues and he just can't articulate it. But he doesn't make any sense. I don't even know if he's lying so much as he's trying to get the sales pitch right, and he doesn't seem able to do it.
Well, I'll say lastly, he's either lying or not very smart.
Yes, well, this is the interesting question. This is what I've been pondering all day. Is the governor dumb, or is he just, has he reached a point, I'm trying to think of a nice way to say this, has he reached a point in his life where he's not quite as sharp as he used to be? Is there a little Joe Biden thing going on?
There's no nice way to say it. You said it.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. And I've got a specific reason for doing that. I'm going to try to find you the sound cut so I can play it for you. Thanks so much for the call, sir. 860-522-9842. Good to hear from you, Mike. This is my question, I guess, for you. Do you have a handle on this with the governor? Do you think that he's maybe lost it a little bit? Listen to him. He tends to babble. He just goes on and on. So we'll play some of that coming up. Stay with us on WTIC. WTIC, I just want to play a minute of the governor. This is him speaking extemporaneously to the Chamber of Commerce in Waterbury yesterday, I believe. And just listen to him talking without notes and see if you can follow what he's saying.
Carbon-free power and half of our overall power. For you, this is really important because, you know, one of the things you need is not just reliable, predictable budget on my side, reliable and flat taxes on your side, flat in the sense that we didn't raise them. Every governor for the last 20 years, they come into office, they raise them. We didn't raise tax rates. And you want to know what those energy prices are going to be. So we did that, and at the same time, we said, look, I'm going to make sure that no governor's stuck in the same position I was, where you don't have options. So we're doubling down on wind power. I did that alongside Rhode Island and Massachusetts and New York, and we went out to bid coincident with each other. And because we did that, because we didn't just do it by ourselves, we got the lowest published rates in the country, in the history of the country. It was dramatic. So it's going to take a few years for us to get that going. And yesterday, we just announced that we're going to be rebuilding the State Pier in New London. The only reason I mention that is because that was all done with this entity called the quasi-public. It was called the Port Authority. And you've heard the Port Authority, there were a bunch of volunteers in there. They were running this shop. They hadn't necessarily had all the financial management they needed to operate a big deal like this. And yet I like the quasis.
I like the quasis
because everything in state government takes for bloody ever. And, these quasis are faster, they're nimble. And if I get the right people in there, folks like you, folks from the private sector, it doesn't pay, so I just got to let you know this, but you get in there on a regular basis, you keep an eye on what the publics are doing.
All right, there's a couple of minutes of Ned saying nothing, speaking constantly, but saying nothing. He doesn't really know how to make a point. He doesn't have a point, it doesn't seem. He it does stream of consciousness. It's weird. Here he is talking to people he could convince. You know, it's their chance to be in front of the power source. He gets to inspire them if he chooses. Have them leaving saying, oh, my God, I got to hear the governor speak. He was amazing. You know, with their cell phones, videotaping, so they can send it to their friends, post it on Twitter. Oh, you can't believe how blessed we are to have this man running our state. But no, I don't even know what he's saying. I love the quasis. We got to use the quasis because government is so slow. We know government is so slow about everything, like you trying to pass tolls. It's like Chinese torture. Frank in Plainville, hi.
Hello, is this time?
I don't know. Who wants to know?
Frank wants to know.
Oh, all right. If it's Frank, then yes, this is Todd.
Okay. I just pulled over in my car so I can be legal. Okay, tolls. I don't know if anybody has brought this up or not, but it seems to me on the surface that the governor is going to get what he wants. And it seems to me there's one card that No Toll CT hasn't played yet. And the card I think that would be valuable is the Truckers Association that's fighting in Rhode Island. What would happen to the Senate or the House's vote if the Truckers Association came out right up front and said, if you pass the law, we are going to engage you in a lawsuit?
And yeah, they don't care. They don't care. They're planning on that there will be a lawsuit.
Well, yeah, but have they announced it? If they announced it that they would do it, it seems to me that it would be extra leverage on the representatives that are going to have to vote on this thing to know that it's going to be stalled perhaps for years with a lawsuit unless the Rhode Island one gets resolved right away.
Frank, you know how you hear about a crime on the news and somebody breaks into a house and pistol whips innocent people and so he can rob them of like $6?
Mm-hmm.
And they end up arresting him after he's done 35 of these things. And mm-hmm. as soon as you hear it on the news, you say, oh, it's drugs. That's a junkie. That's what junkies do. They're desperate and they do irrational crimes. Mm-hmm. That's what's going on. These are junkies. The Democrats are. They just need more money. They're desperate for more money.
I understand that.
So you're trying to apply logic. And there is no logic. They will pass regardless of what happens in Rhode Island, regardless of the lawsuits. They just want the money. Thank you for the call, sir. Zach, you're on WTIC. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead, sir.
So you're talking about tolls as a way to repay these benefits packages for the unions. And you're saying the unions don't do anything for us taxpayers. I'm going to assume that you mean the union as like a third party.
Yes.
Do anything for us.
And this extra money, this $124 billion in debt, there is no product for which you can point and say,
yeah.
Oh, look, we've got that generating all kinds of economic activity for us. So at least we get a return on investment.
Yeah. So now the tolls, if they're going to be a way to repay, and I mean, I'm not for tolls, but we need these benefits packages to incentivize people to work in this state because there's really not many reasons to work in this state or be in this state. So the incentives from these state jobs is what we kind of need. So how else do you see going forward a way to keep the good benefits packages but still incentivize people to work and be able to pay these going down the road?
Well, we don't want to keep them, and we don't need them to get people. Why do people have to get paid more to have a secure state government jobs act? I don't see why that would be. 860-522-9842. Sorry, we've got to get to a news update. We'll talk more coming up on WTIC. Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Yep. That's how the tax man works. One for you, 19 for me. I just want to get over this babbling Ned thing. I want to play you this. This is the best. Now, I want you to remember a couple of things. Bongi is the first name of the commissioner of the DMV. Now, I believe that Ned here can't remember DMV twice and can't remember the name Bongi. That's his commissioner of the Department of Motor Vehicles. He can't remember. He also gets a little confused talking about his State of the State address last week. He refers to it as Face the State, the TV program hosted by Dennis House on Channel 3. So listen to him talk. Again, this is him with his 20 minutes in front of the business leaders who he wants to impress at the Waterbury Chamber of Commerce. And he babbles like somebody who just has no idea what's going on or how important it is that he impress people and that he communicate a message that's cogent and powerful and visionary for the state. And listen to what they get.
Just speeding things up. And I can't think of any. DMV, Bongi.
All right, so that's him forgetting Bongi, his commissioner of DMV. And I think he's not remembering DMV either, because he comes up with it and he's so excited.
I can't think of any. DMV, Bongi.
All right, there he's all verklempt trying to come up with that piece of information. His commissioner of the department, that's like he can't remember his wife's name in the morning.
I can't think of any. DMV, Bongi. Bongi Magabani. Ever heard of her? Okay.
What was that? What was that?
Bongi Magabani. Ever heard of her? Okay.
It's a Beavis and Butthead moment. What is he laughing about?
Bongi Magabani. Ever heard of her? Okay. But she's amazing. I mean, I talked about her the other day at the Face the State.
All right, here he is. He talked to her the other day at the Face the State. Face the State is the TV program. The State of the State is the speech you gave, Ned.
The other day at the Face the State. And
oh, that is just too much.
Talked about it the other day at the Face the State and State of the State. And, you know, she comes over. She's fleeing apartheid, South Africa, goes to UConn, speaking only Swahili. And she ends up as head of technology for Aetna. And so I'm thinking.
Listen to him. He forgets again. He's trying. What he does is he stops and he stops in advance of the thing. He can see the thing coming down the pike that he wants to say. And he can't find the noun. He can't come up with it. So he starts stumbling. He starts babbling. Listen, he's trying to remember DMV again. He just said it 20 seconds ago.
And so I'm thinking about DMV, you know, Department of Motor.
Oh, DMV, I'm so stupid, he's saying to himself. That's that tone of voice, right?
And so I'm thinking about DMV, you know, Department of Motor Vehicles, and everybody's always, you know, crabby about DMV and waiting in lines, and, you know, that's my one, you know, place that I actually know what government's doing, and I don't like it. And
What did he say? Excuse me, that was kind of a profound confession from the governor of the state of Connecticut. He's only been on the job, yes, 12 months, 13 months. So we don't expect him to know too much. He's never really done any government. So, but still, it's over a year.
You know, that's my one, you know, place that I actually know what government's doing and I don't like it.
Okay, so what the governor is admitting here is he knows nothing. This is the thing I've been telling you for a year, and I'm sure you figured out for yourself anyway. This guy has no idea what government is all about, how it works, what it is doing. He has no idea, and he just admitted.
You know, that's my one, you know, place that I actually know what government's doing, and I don't like it.
He just admitted that the one place he knows something about what government is doing, he doesn't like. He's not impressed. The Department of Motor Vehicles, which he can't remember the name of, and Bongi, whose name he can't remember. this is, I believe, what we're seeing is a sort of Joe Biden-style meltdown. I'm not trying to be mean. I was stunned listening to this last night.
And everybody's always, you know, crabby about DMV and waiting in lines. And, you know, that's my one, you know, place that I actually know what government's doing and I don't like it. And
and there's the Beavis and Butthead returns in the middle of that. He gets a little nervous.
And, you know, every 4 years we have TV advertisements blasting DMV. So I just said, all right.
It's bizarre and scary that what Democrats did was they needed someone who could win the governor's race. They don't think who would be a great governor. Who is the person we have with the stature and the experience and the credibility who we can run for governor and be proud of and know that when he gets elected, it'll be some kind of spectacular service. People will just be blown away. And based on the power of his personality and the power of his intellect and his gravitas, everybody will fall in behind him. We will forget about party differences. And we'll be able to keep robbing the state blind without concern that we might get caught, that people might figure out what we're up to.
How about this, Bongi? I mean, why don't we bring DMV into the 21st century? How about a little technology here? How about moving this online and let's see if we can make a difference in people's lives?
But they didn't. That's not what they look for. They just look for somebody who can pay for his own campaign. That's what they look for. Who can pay their own way? Because we're probably going to lose this election anyway. And then he goes and makes a dumb ad about him driving around in the Chevy that isn't his. And saying how he's not going to have a driver. Wasn't that what that ad was about? He wasn't going to have a driver? Can you imagine him trying to find his way around the state? He would end up in Arkansas if he went out on his own. Of course he needs security. Bob, hi, you're on WTIC.
Yes, Tom, how you doing? I'm just mentioning about what's the governor. I know you're saying that you had a Biden moment, but that really is putting Biden in a situation. I think Uncle Ed is having an Uncle Ed moment. I think he's worse than Biden. He probably has never, ever been at motor vehicle.
Well, so. But he sounds like he knows not to be impressed. He says that's the one department I know about and I don't like it. So it sounds like once maybe somebody took him through the DMV and he.
Right. It's like George Bush going through the counter one day. Ooh, look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the sad part. But my scary part is that if the Republicans need to put somebody up against this guy, he's going to fight. Because the last Stephanopoulos just stood home. And he should have won because it was guaranteed that he should have won.
You know what I'm thinking, though, as I listen to all this, Bob, and thank you for the call. You may be right that I'm being unfair to Joe Biden. But what I'm thinking is that this guy's not capable of running for re-election, that whatever has happened to his short-term memory is getting bad enough so he's not able to function in the way necessary for this kind of job. Larry in Bridgeport. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Todd. Let me start off by saying thanks for what you do. You have the best show on the radio, and you do a real service for the people of Connecticut. I just thought I'd tell you that.
Thank you. I appreciate it because I love just being able to tell the truth. And I think it's a beautiful
thing. Yeah. You tell the truth, you're transparent, and you save a lot of time because you don't beat around the bush. So I like that. I wish our governor would do that, but that's another story. Look, my opinion of the governor is he is a stooge. He doesn't have the power. The power lays with the legislature. The person who runs the state every day, in my opinion, is Martin Looney. Martin Looney runs the state. He has ran the state for years, and this governor is a puppet on a string. And don't let anybody tell you any different. And the only area of the state that he's familiar with is Greenwich and maybe Westport because, you know, he's an elitist.
Yeah, and I think that's where his heart lies. That's why so much of the talk about tolls, which they like to call a user fee, as in those monies will go to fix bridges, but then he says, well, I want 30% of that to go to trains, which are already incredibly heavily subsidized. But I think that's who he wants to be popular with, is the Fairfield crowd.
There's no question. He's in with the Fairfield crowd, which he can have. They don't represent the working class people of the state who are paying the bills, the men and the women who pay the bills. One other quick point, and that is Luke Bronin you had on the other day up in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Luke Bronin, you know, he says he's a veteran. You know what? A lot of us served, but we're not waving the flag around. You know, we did what we were supposed to do, and it's just what you're supposed to do if you can, is serve for a couple of years, 4 years. But the thing about Luke Bronin that I resent is there's a lot of working people in Hartford who are going to get affected by tolls, okay? And he got a payout, or he got $200 million from the previous governor. He got bailed out as the mayor of the city.
Yeah, $500 million.
Right, he's not understanding the effect of tolls on people who have to commute every day in and out of Hartford, and people who live in Hartford who get up and work two and three jobs. He's a snake oil salesman.
I'm sure Luke Bronin understands quite well the impact on his community, but he can't take $500 million with one hand and then with the other hand slap away the ask for his support on tolls. He's just locked in. That's part of the problem.
I know. He sold his soul is what he did when he took the money on the payout. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. Thank you, Larry. Good to hear from you, and thank you for your kind words. We'll take a quick break and take more calls. 860-522-9842. Stay with us on WTIC. Oh, yeah.
I can't think of it. DMV, Bungie.
I can't think of it.
I can't think of it. DMV, Bungie.
He forgot DMV.
Bungie Magabani. Ever heard of her?
He forgot Bungie.
Okay. But
I love that laugh. I mean, that, doesn't that just sum up the last year of trying to pass tolls?
Okay.
Wow. 860-522-9842. And let's see, Jack in Middletown. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how you doing, Dad?
So you went to the that place where the register your cars, where Bongi is. What's it called?
That place. I've been going there since I was a little kid. I'm 62 now. It never gets any better. But I got to say, to renew my license today, they're very efficient and very enthusiastic about making sure I'm registered to vote, which I am. Just before the final paper was processed, I had to actually check off a box and sign that I am registered to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking back now, I'm thinking, well, what if I said I wasn't? What kind of presentation and how would I be steered to register to vote? But that,
well, I don't think you would have gotten out of there. The trap door would have opened and you would have gone down to the dungeon.
Exactly.
They force you. It sounds like what you're saying is they force you to register to vote. At the
at the
DMV.
I had, Dodd?
Yeah.
Okay, I had to go over there to register, to renew my license, okay?
Yeah.
I got to prove my address, because my address, I got to have two pieces of mail. Although my state-issued pistol permit confirms that, that's not good enough. I got to have a Social Security card or a W-2. I got to bring two pieces of mail. So
I thought that was racist to make you identify yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to do that to vote in many states. But so then I go all the way over there yesterday, and they're closed. And then in the afternoon or in the morning, I think it was Will that found out that it cost us $10.5 million for them to be closed on yesterday. And we're only one of four states to do that. So I go back over there today, and she.
Well, it doesn't cost them; it costs you.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go over there today with my IDs and my mail and all this stuff. It's going to take me 2 days to put all that stuff away. But one of the addresses, one of the pieces of mail, was a little too old. I go, listen, I've been at this address 34 years. So anyway, I got my license again. Just a quick thing. I know your break is coming up. I want to say the governor, I think he's playing dumb, not getting any dumber. I want to shout out to the toll people. Thanks for all you're doing. I don't have that much time. I'm working. I should take some time, but they've done a wonderful job. Cuts, 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 Mr. Governor. Cuts, cuts, cuts. And
you're talking about notollct.org. Jack, thank you so much for the call. Great to hear from you. And Mark is in West Hartford. Hi, Mark.
Todd, up until this morning, I always thought I'd like to hear Ned Lamont on your show, but it would just be, I'd rather have you talk about the weather for an hour all by yourself or with Mike. It was, I didn't know what to expect. So the format was people would call up. I think 15, 16 callers called up, maybe at 20 seconds.
Okay.
You got potted down or hung up on, mm-hmm. and there was no ability to hold the governor accountable for answering your question. I mean, yep. mine was easy. I basically called him, you know, a two-face, and I pointed out. I got him to agree. I said the very foundation of trust between humans is based upon agreements and pledges and promises. And he goes, well, yeah, of course. And then basically I read a quote from his parrot, Max Reese, and I said, he was, you know, where the governor wasn't going to let a campaign promise get in the way of sound fiscal policy that protects all taxpayers. So he agrees that, yeah, you know, our trust is based upon promises, but yet he can break one because it's better for the good. You know, I brought up the submarine now. You know, there's the double standard. He was so upset that EB went from two submarines to one, you know, and, you know, he said they pledged to build two. So I kind of called him out on it. And then, of course, he didn't answer to that. And then one caller did, you know, the easy one, the debt diet and where are the cuts? And he always goes to that smallest increase, BS line. You know, like, no, the guy's asking about cuts. He didn't say, like, hey, thank God for the smallest increase in, you know, in the history of Connecticut. But it was just a horrible run show. He didn't answer any of the questions. Like I said, I think he spent maybe 10 minutes out of the whole hour. I don't know how you say he didn't answer anything. He just started yapping.
Well, that's why those are important forums, I think, because you get to find out what
oh,
the
I
guys...
Oh, I hope enough, though. Don't have him on. I mean, don't go out of your way. I'll put it that way. If he wants to come on, great.
Well, we invite him. He doesn't come on here. He doesn't talk to us.
He'll never come on.
He doesn't let his people come on.
I hope he doesn't. That'd be a waste of an hour for you.
Mark, I'm sorry I've got to hold you there, but thank you for the feedback.